Let's call this meeting to order, please. It is the second. This is a voting meeting. You all have on your table, I believe, the proposals revisits from 23 to 31. And the ones in gray have been acted upon. And we'll begin. Joe, is there anything that you want to say?
No.
All right. Let's begin. I have one which is new. It is unfunded addition that was made yesterday to the assessment department, and it totals out to be removing it from target 17,364, and I would move that. Is there a second? Thank you, Frank. There's a second. Any discussion? Let me get my pen. Carol, Nate, Dooley, Martha. Go ahead, Carol.
Actually, why don't I let other people go first if you're willing to come back to me?
Can't hear that. What?
Is that okay?
I'm sorry?
I will jump in. I think there was some misunderstanding about last night about the what this piece would be relative to the piece that we might need for assessment once drilling occurs. When drilling happens in New York State, which might start happening in there's already drilling happening in New York State, including here in Tompkins County there are wells. We need to keep current with the wells that are here. And whether drilling occurs in 2000, high volume slick water hydrofracking occurs, what New York State is deciding in 2012 versus 2013, when that occurs, we will have assessment work to do to understand land valuation. There is work that we are basing our assessment rolls, you know, how much is that property in Groton worth compared to that property over there in Caroline, for our assessment rolls, and some are going up and some are going down, not just because of drilling that might one day happen, but because of the very existence of a lease on a property. And we know that the realtors have added a field to their multiple listing service because they have clients who ask for properties that either do or don't. It's not only... We're talking about values going down. We're talking about values going up. And so I guess I'd like to give Jay Franklin the opportunity to tell us a little bit more about that.
I would have him do that, but let me go around the room and get the rest of people commenting, and then we'll have, if there are specific questions for Jay. Brian, you're next. Nate and Dooley, and then there's someone else over here. Oh, Martha. And who else? Was there anyone else on this side of the room? Besides,
I just bring up the point that we kind of recessed last night and everybody was supposed to go and think about what it was. This topic did come up last night. And I guess I would like to hear from the department head as to what his feelings are on this, if he can live with this, especially in light of it seems as though the state is putting off some things having to do with hydrofracking now, the review and so forth. If he can live with this for now, with the caveat that should things start to look like they're going to get hot and heavy, you're certainly welcome to come back and ask for funds at that time. But I want to know from you what your thoughts are on it.
Well, the first two people have opened their mouth that wanted Jay to talk. So, Jay, come on to the microphone.
Well, just a little point of clarification. Right now, we're not seeing leases or not having a lease having any effect on value. We're not seeing a positive or negative effect. At some point in the future, my guess, my feeling is that will have an effect on value. I don't know when that will occur. It just has to. As to whether we can live without this position or not, it's work that's going to need to be done. Right now, we're relying on year-old data compiled by a group of volunteers so that when we're researching a sale to see if there is an effect on value. We're looking at that to see if there that property had a lease, if there's neighboring properties, if there's a current well that may have been capped that's near that property. So it's right now this is in the data gathering to see if there is an effect on value. Whether we can live without it, we can live without a lot of things in my department and other departments, I'm sure. But it's work that's going to have to be done. Just when we do it is entirely up to you, whether it's done in the beginning of 12, if you want me to come back at the second half of 12, or in 13, if it really starts to get going. That's entirely up to you. I'm not here to turn down money. I'm not here to say I don't need the money, but we'll need it at some point. When do you want to give it to me is or give it to my department is really the issue.
I have Nate next.
Yeah, I will support unfunding this addition only because when natural gas drilling comes to New York State or through fracking, I want to see a comprehensive package at that point. I want to see the data collection side, but then also the value evaluation side all together. And if that requires two people, fine, so be it. You know, but I want to see it as a package at that time. I think right now, $17,000 for a quarter-time position, it just doesn't seem like it's warranted at this moment. And when it does come, I won't be enough. So I'd rather have a comprehensive package at that time, and that's why I'm voting against this tonight.
Dooley.
Well, my question was really just to you. Why were you recommending this?
Well, I was recommending it for the reason I don't think, first of all, the department did not ask for it. Secondly, it would reduce the levy, and I had explained to Jay, not only in a personal phone conversation, but in an email, that when he had a comprehensive plan, I believe I said that last night, that he could come back and ask us for it. If it were the $17,000, it would have to come out of the contingency fund, but he could do it at that time. I don't think, I think it's a position whose time has not just yet come.
And well, okay, then I think I understand that and can agree with that. What worries me is if he has to come back in the middle of 2012 or sometime,
right,
we're going to have less money in our reserves by virtue of the cuts we have made. So if this passes, I hope other members of this legislature will consider doing some addition to the levy so that we can have a higher level of reserves in anticipation of all the things that we're going to have to do in the next year or two.
Martha.
Thanks, Jim. I go back and forth on this, but I think I'm looking at the third motion down, reducing the levy by taking $60,000 out of rollover. I think I would rather do that than unfund this position. What I'm hearing tonight is that, you know, we're going to have to do this. I think my gut feeling is it'd be better to start doing it sooner rather than later, so it's not done in a hurry at the last minute when drilling is going to start within a couple of months. So, and also, if we have professionally done accurate information, maybe, you know, maybe there is already an effect showing up in values. I've heard of anecdotally of properties that can't sell because there's a lease, and properties that are not moving because there's a lease next door. So, you know, it's possible that if we actually have current, you know, really documented information, we might see something that's not evident right now. I'm going to support this and hope that we can accomplish the levy reduction by the later motion. I'm going to support leaving the money in.
Okay. Peter.
There's an old nostrum says, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. I think that I asked, last night, I asked Jay, I said, suppose I had a crystal ball and I would guarantee you that there will not be any gas drilling done until a year from now. Would you still ask for this? And he said yes. The idea was that this is to accumulate a baseline of data, which isn't going to change. And when gas drilling starts, I imagine a hysteria, not only in this room, but all over the Tompkins County. And I think that's the wrong time to start to get a systematic data file. I think that any of these things that we put off, we can put off anything. I mean, there's a million things we could put off and not do and then do next time, but in the long run, it's not going to help anybody. The tax rate will be lowered this year, but then it'll be raised double the year afterwards. So I will vote whatever it is against this. Is that right? Yeah. Thank you.
Will and Pat.
Peter's made many of the points I was going to make. Folks, we have no idea what gas drilling will do to our community. We can only guess because it's never happened. Doing this now, we have the luxury of time. And we can do it without, a crisis situation. We're talking a very small amount of money. I will be voting against this.
Pat.
I'm going to support this motion. I agree with the points that Nathan made and also with what you said, Jim. And certainly, although we may have the luxury of time, we don't have the luxury of money at this point. And I really think that we need to think about those things that we can do. Certainly, we've asked other departments to really look very closely at what absolutely they have to have and what things they don't have to have right at the moment. This is kind of to my way of thinking and along that line. It's so speculative. We really, don't know when this is going to start. And yes, it would be very nice to be proactive and establish a baseline right now. But I think that the same impact or the same results can be accomplished even if it doesn't start right now or this coming year. The other thing, I'm sure you all read as I did, the most recent report I read in the paper, it appears that the DEC itself is in effect going to prolong this period of time that it's taking to get ready to start fracking because they're studying, they've been asked by the legislature to give them an indication and the governor to give them an indication of what are the resources they're going to need to enforce the regulations once they're enacted. And they've indicated that that's going to be a fairly lengthy process. They're not going to be able to meet the deadline that they were originally given. And the panel that's examining that question includes representatives, or at least a representative, from counties. Because there apparently someone has figured out that it's going to be an added cost to counties as well once these regulations are implemented. So it just sounds like another sign to me that things are not going very quickly, at least not at the pace that the state had originally anticipated. That being the case, I'm going to support this motion.
Anyone else? Carol?
Yeah. As I understand the announcement this morning in the paper, this is pure speculation at this point as to what the time frame will be. The governor's panel is still working. No relaxation of their deadline has been actually given. I also understand that the 8 options they've been presented for additional permit fees and taxation of eventual gas drilling. None of them contain, one sort of does for urban areas, but none of them contain dollars for localities. And any of the options that are implemented, and it's pretty sure that state will implement some kind of taxation, any of them that it get implemented are allowed to be subtracted from the money that is paid through the ad valorem, through the property tax. So Jay has spent a lot of time this year teaching this land valuation subcommittee, assessment and land valuation subcommittee, how that formula works. Best case, the state decides that some of the costs, the additional costs that are going to need to be borne by localities, get covered, but that will have to be borne get covered, but they're only talking about state costs. And to the extent that the state costs get covered, all of the formulas are going to detract from what Jay is allowed to assess on properties based on production. That's taken a lot of study and a lot of work and a lot of time by his department. And now we're asking him, in addition, to help us go and present the information we've discovered in New York State to the people on the governor's panel and others. In the meantime, he's trying to keep up with work to assess our properties fairly based on work that he just told us has not been updated in over a year by volunteers. And those volunteers have further told us that they have no intention of providing additional updates. So I don't know how better than that to explain. Jay can tell us a little bit more about the one property that I understand where you have seen a more documented difference in value. Before and after or sale price, where the seller wanted to keep the subsurface drilling rights, and the property price therefore went up. Can you tell us anything about your ability to therefore capture the additional value that would add to our tax base, and whether you see more of those maybe coming?
Well, there was one recent sale of a property that sold within the town of Dryden. Sold for a good amount of money. There was personal property also included in the sale. And in researching the circumstances behind that sale, out of the significant amount of acres, I don't want to tie it down and give the actual amount so you can figure out which property I'm talking about. The gas lease the buyer and seller determined to be was about $2,500 an acre in order to transfer that gas lease from the prior owner to the house to the new owner of the house. Now, that's one transaction between one buyer and one seller. I don't know how they came to that $2,500 an acre figure or not, especially with 1 month later in the town of Dryden enacted their current ban on drilling. So, there is... We are going to need that data. I'm not downplaying that. It just, it's our normal course of business to try to find the circumstances behind the sale. Why, and we looked at that sale and it sold for significantly higher than what we thought it would have. And one of the reasons was personal property and the other reason was the gas leaks that transferred. But in other instances, we're not having to go that extra step because properties are selling for typically what we think they would.
Okay, thanks. And then do you anticipate any problems?
Should we not go in order?
I'm sorry?
I think this is my last one, and I may hurt my case on this one, but I have concerns that that we could see potential additional grievances or further to property valuations as word gets out that we're relying on the work of volunteers where people feel that their assessments are higher. Is that anything you have any concerns about, or for the future?
I'm not really concerned about that because I know the time and effort and diligence that the TC Gas Map or MAP people actually put in and the quality of the work. We have done spot checking. We're not blindly using their data. So in times when we don't have the resources to do the work, we try to gather as much data from as many sources as we can, and that's been a great resource to have. But at some point, we'll need to take ownership of that, and especially to record who has that right to extract the gas and oil, because we may have to separately assess that in the future.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the work you've done all year.
Frank Perdo.
Thanks, Jim. It seems to me that the, and I just briefly read the article in today's paper about the DEC's timing. I think that's what Carol was alluding to, and the timing perhaps being delayed. What I was wondering is, there's about $700,000 put aside for contingency for next year. That's the proposed amount. And very little of it, as I understand, is is our numbers that we're earmarking for anything. Matter of fact, I don't think there's very many. Maybe Kevin can help me with that. I don't think there's anything that's seriously earmarked for anything for next year. Since the basic argument here is related to the drilling, is there any way that we might agree that if Jay needs this because the DEC drops the other foot, that sometime during... I keep coming up with these, don't I, Pam? that we set aside money out of contingency when he's ready for this money for next year. That's one of the reasons that I'm supporting... I'm not going to vote in favor of this. I'm going to support withdrawing it from the proposed budget. But that was just a thought that I had since yesterday.
Peter Stein.
Call the question.
The question has been called. There a second? Mike? All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand or signify by saying aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 opposed? 1, 2. Question has been called. The original motion is to unfund the addition 17364 out of target as it was placed in yesterday. Kevin, that number up there, is that already out, or is that where we're presently at?
That's what will be if this is out.
Okay. All in favor of, if you are voting yes, then it means that you are in favor of removing it from target. All in favor of removing this from target, please raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 to 6. And that passes. The next one I have is to use a reduction of rollover, which is $43,000, and it's a percentage number, 22.815 from health, 53%. And 21.86 from DSS, and it's percentage based on how much each of the departments has in rollover. So I would move that number total of 43,000. Is there a second for it, Martha? Discussion. Let me just say, as the maker of the motion, that I am concerned about the use of rollover, and much of the discussion about rollover yesterday would hold true. But I think this amount of money, and I have had conversation with both departments that this is coming from, and it would not be a significant loss to either one of them. I talked with Patricia, not the health department. And it looks like, given the amount of money they have, it would not be a significant loss to them, and they could survive at least with the 360 or with the rollover money they currently have. One of the problems with using rollover money, and I think it's been said a couple of times, and I'll take this opportunity to say it again, I believe that departments operate fairly well with the ability to have rollover money in their accounts. Much better than if we had a spend it and lose it kind of a budget process that we use. They are able to run their operation knowing full well at the end of the year that they're able to do something with the money. And in doing that, they have to come to us to do that. They cannot do it unilaterally. So that is why I relented and said I would like to use some rollover with the two things combined. You can see where we would be, and clearly that was one of my goals at the end of the meeting yesterday and today. Anyone, any other people want to talk about that? And we'll start around this way. Dooley, go ahead.
The reference is to page 3-371. What should I be looking at there?
There is no actual page related to it. I was just trying to identify one of the departments in which it
would be. Oh, you're just saying DSS can
DSS
be found there.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't understand your comment that it's based on a percentage, and you chose 53%. So you're taking 53% of DSS rollover and 53% of health rollover? Is that
47% of...
Right. Joe?
There is a page... I'm sorry. There is a page that you can look at in the budget on rollover. It's
right.
On Section 2, page 5. So you can see what the balances are right now for DSS and health. And the way these numbers have been separated between the two is really is pro rata. So it looks at how much the balances are for both DSS and health, and it takes a proportionate amount of the $43,000, or I think that's what the number is, $43,000 takes a proportionate amount of their respective rollovers.
So the health part is 53% of that total. DSS and health, the total of DSS and health, 53% of that is health, and 47% is social services.
The percentage
refers to the total amount of rollover they
total
have.
Amount.
It was less than clear what that was saying.
Yeah, I probably...
So now I understand what it's saying. It doesn't mean I agree with it, but at least I understand.
All right.
Thank you.
Brian, Frank, you have your hand up?
Yeah.
We'll go around this way. Martha, Brian, Frank. Go ahead.
Peter. I appreciate that you talked to Patricia, but I worry about the health department. I would like to make a motion and then ask Sigrid or Frank to speak to it, that the entire amount come from the DSS rollover, since there's a difference in how the rollover is generated. So with apologies to Patricia, but I think that it's a little more sensitive in health. So that's my motion. Same amount, but have it all come from DSS.
Is there a second to that? Will? Discussion.
So if I could ask Frank or Sigrid to talk about that.
Good evening. Could you kind of tell me specifically the question here?
Okay, the way I understand your rollover, it's because you have these huge receivables from the Department of Health, or where all the places that you get your reimbursement. That I mean, Frank just told me earlier that the most recent reimbursement payment you have is the end of 2010, and you haven't gotten anything at all in 2011, something like that.
That's correct.
So that the issue of that there's a need to carry rollover at kind of as a cash flow for your department, and I think it's not salient in that way for DSS, but I can certainly want to hear from Patricia too if that's a concern.
Yes, one of the issues that we deal with is when we receive our reimbursements from the state, and we are still waiting for fourth quarter of 2010 to know for sure exactly what that number will be, and that potentially affects our rollover dollars. One of the things that we do in relation to rollover is we plan with it. It's not simply a cash transaction issue. I think as it may be more so in DSS, there are a lot of fluctuations in our budget this year. Mainly with the CHA situation, which has affected all of our other programs because of the way our state aid is distributed for administrative purposes, as well as other reductions in state aid. So we've had to make a lot of informed and educated estimates on what those numbers are going to be, and a large part of why we made some of the decisions we did with the budget we presented was because we had the opportunity that there was rollover there that would help cushion any negative impact that we may have underestimated. And so as we brought that budget to you all, our hope was that we would have that ability to be able to absorb any negative impacts that, again, without it affecting other departments throughout the county. And certainly as a new manager, the last thing that I wanted to do in my very first budget was raid the savings account and use it all without having an opportunity to fully understand and evaluate all of our programs and budgeting concepts to apply to what we brought to you this year.
Thank you, Frank. Brenda?
Patricia, want to say anything? Brenda?
We have not gotten our payment for the fourth quarter 2010. We are still making edits to that claim that was already submitted back in February, but the state continues to have issues. In fact, you just signed a document to resubmit. And what happens with our claims, they're done quarterly. We did get, I believe, first quarter, and I'm not positive on second quarter, but I know we've gotten first quarter of 2011. But when the year closes, all those claims actually get reopened back up, re-looked at because of offsets and so on. So we're subject to changes, which makes it really hard for us to predict whether we'll have a surplus or deficit. So we have been cautious about spending our rollover until, as Frank said, the CHAZ situation fully unfolds, the LHCSA application is submitted, and we know what requirements we will have to be a licensed agency and go through all the program reviews and so on.
Peter.
I'm going to vote against this. I probably will not say this again on several items that follow because it's always the same argument. But I'm concerned for the reasons I gave yesterday about diddling with the rollover policy. I think that one can affect actions in a way that you not intended, actions by the department heads, when you start changing that policy. And I think that's a mistake. But mostly I think of rollover in the same way that I think of the other fund balances. It's part of the reserve that we keep to guard us against some terrible situation. And yesterday I was convinced that they were, by conversations I had with David Squires, that they were about as low as we could could really tolerate. And I don't think I misunderstood that, but I can't think that that's very far off. We think we have no reason to believe that next year is going to be any better than this year. This year we've managed to reduce what we thought we had to do with the tax increase because of one-times. There was a one-time savings found in the health department, and there was a one-time CHA thing that helped us. And I think we can't expect that next year. And frankly, reading what I do about Albany, I don't think we can expect anything to be any better. So I think that taking from rollover at this particular time or taking from the reserves at this time is putting off pain to, we're putting off pain today to make more pain tomorrow. I think that the tax increase that we have at this point that we decided on last night was reasonable based on what we know and what our guesses will be about the future. And therefore, I myself will not vote towards taking any money out of reserves to lower it further from what we decided on last night.
Patricia Carey started to the microphone. Martha has changed from the health department to totally $43K out of your department, and I would like you to respond to that.
I had an opportunity to speak to Tom Herden, my fiscal person, and we believe that we can live with this. Our department doesn't have a tradition of spending all of our money because that's what we want to do. Our department's the way we claim, the way money comes into us, it's very difficult to really understand where we'll be in 6 months or 7 months. We do a very good job of trying to anticipate what our budget will be, but in looking at whatever we can forecast in our crystal ball, we can live with the $60,000 of our rollover being taken.
43. Okay. I have Brian, Frank, Dooley, Mike, and then back to you, Martha.
Okay. I think I understand the amendment. And 24 and 25, I think. Wait a minute. 24 and 25 are virtually the same thing. Martha, I'm assuming that you have that number in there in the event that 23 did not pass. Is that
right? That's right. So if this one passes, I will pass on this. The next one won't even come up. I wouldn't bring it up. If I was looking for $60,000.
Okay.
And as you know, I voted to keep the 17 in there, and I would prefer to take the 60 out of the rollover. So, but the 17 came out, so 43 is all that's needed.
Okay. So you're pulling 25 and taking it all from DSS.
Right.
Okay.
Frank?
I'm supporting Martha's change, and I was going to make the same argument, or at least give the same explanation about the department's the amount of money that's still outstanding from 2010. So I will support the $43,000. I'm glad, Patricia, you're able to handle it. Did you want to go for 60?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Dooley.
Well, I do support Martha's amendment because it's lower and it's from a department that can apparently live with it. I would feel much better if on Section 2, Page 5, DSS had offered to return a certain amount to the general fund as part of working with the county administrator in developing the original budget. But if we're assured now that it's okay, I will accept that. However, it seems so clear to me that this $43,000 added to the $17,000 we just okayed earlier was totally to bring the tax levy down just below 4%. And it's that kind of playing with numbers that really, really bothers me. We did a good job of explaining to the public in retrospect why we had directed Joe to come with 5.4%. I think that most people understood that it made sense. I think they would be delighted if we came back with something less than 5%, but to be pushing and pushing and pushing to get it below 4% is just making our next year harder. So although I appreciate Martha's amendment and will support it, because the department head supports it, I am very unhappy with the direction things are going.
Mike Lane.
First, Peter, the sale of the CHOD is not a one-time. That's a reduction of the target because it's an elimination of a program. So that's a permanent reduction over there. This argument about to use it or lose it that everyone falls back on to defend the rollover money. I'm glad I didn't work for Cornell. It sounds like they were running rampant up there. All these professors and spouses of professors and other things that we have here talking about the lose it or use it being used all the time. I don't recall that in county government, and I don't think that a good county administrator would allow that to happen. As far as this is concerned, I think it can come from both departments, even though it's not booked yet.
Martha.
I want to talk to Peter's concern. Peter, I think last night I argued.
I got you, Mark. I got you.
What?
Go ahead.
I'm just asking. That's all.
I do.
Thank you.
Peter, I think last night I argued more or less the same, that we shouldn't just take rollover for the sake of this. But I'm also looking around the room and figuring, I mean, personally, I could live without taking this out of rollover and vote for something over 4%. But I don't think we, and duly, I could vote for 4.5%, but we don't have 8 votes to pass that. I'm pretty certain. And I understand that, you know, at some point this is, you do little things. I mean, this is truly a very, very little thing. $43,000 applied to the tax, basically applied to the tax levy out of a budget of, you know, local budget of $78 million. Is that the number we got? That's our total budget of $78 million local. And so $43,000 to keep the tax levy under. Yeah, it seems like an arbitrary number to get it under 4. Politics is the art of perception. I mean, I think this is a very minor adjustment, something that we can live with. And the goal here is to have something that's good enough for us to pass.
Point of order? Can I make a point of order? We're supposed to be talking about the amendment.
We are.
I wonder if the amendment could possibly be friendly so we didn't have to vote on it.
Okay. Who moved it?
Yeah, it certainly could be friendly.
Who was the seconder?
I was.
You were the seconder?
Not only of the amendment, but the original motion.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm perfectly happy with making it friendly.
Okay.
Could you restate?
I'm sorry.
Restate what it would be.
What just happened?
Well, friendly to both. What are we voting on then?
We are voting on a resolution that is totally taken from DSS, the sum of $43,000, and it is pulled from. It will reduce the target. It's pulled from rollover. Mike.
And I'll move to, if that was accepted as friendly, I will move to amend to back to the original split.
Is there a second for that? No, I feel like it's a second. Are we ready to vote?
Don't you have to line up?
Yeah, I do. Leslie, Will, Kathy, Pat.
Patricia, I appreciate your graciousness with this, and you came in prepared, to do $60,000, but we're at $43,000. Is there any way to convince you that $60,000, otherwise I will move an amendment, and I wouldn't do it if you say no.
My only concern is that our budget is somewhat similar to the health department's, that we are hoping that we can absorb whatever is in the future, because our claimings are, you know, we're still looking, you're looking at the fourth quarter of last year. We still have claims and bills that are coming in from OCFS from like 2003. I haven't even seen those bills yet. So we have challenges.
Thank you.
So that's a cost.
In other words, just leave it alone. Thank you. that's a no, I'll take it. That's a no. And the other thing is, I hear what Dooley, Peter, and others are saying. My intention on this, looking at this, is not about bringing down levies or whatever it is. It's about reducing our spending and reducing costs. So these two, I mean, they really don't matter to me. They'll make a difference. I'm more interested in the reductions that we can do. So that's not where my head is doing.
Will.
I'd like to make an amendment to change this from application to target to application to the general fund. And if I get a second, I'll explain why.
I'll second it.
So I realize that a lot of folks, I supported the Martha's initiative because I think that from my understanding, there was actually more room in the DSS budget. But I think putting it toward this artificial goal of getting our levy below 4% is horribly short-sighted. And if we want to move a little bit of money out and back into the general fund, I think I will, I can support that, even though I am, as Peter pointed out, concerned about starting eroding the support for what I think has been a very good rollover policy. But I am encouraging us to think not just this year's levy, but next year. It's going to be a much, much more difficult year. We know things are headed in a not good direction at the state, and our pressures are going to be, I believe, far worse than they are this year. And I would encourage us to keep some room to maneuver.
Kathy, you're next in line. Kathy is next in line.
Thank you. So I'll speak to the amendment. For myself, I'm not interested in reducing either of these rollovers. I've been serving on Health and Human Services for a while, and it's not even a roller coaster anymore. It's just a plummet. And we're going to come back asking for this money one way or another. I hear what you're saying, Will, but there's a reason that it's put aside and roll over, and the department heads work really hard. Just a short story. When I was new to the board, and Dooley and Frank and some others will remember this, Kathy Leyenthal came before us one budget at the culmination of the budget season and gave back a bunch of money. And it, at the time, I thought, isn't that amazing that the department head found that money? Doesn't that just make you wonder what the budget really looks like? Well, many years later, I come to understand that at the culmination of the budget season, department heads will do anything to try to help us come to a resolution of the budget so that they can get on with doing what they do, which is run county government, especially in these difficult times when we've got increasing caseloads everywhere. I won't support either of these. I understand the desire to get to a certain number. I understand the desire to resolve this. I just don't want to do it in an artificial way. I'd rather have real numbers that reflect what the department is actually experiencing and saving for and anticipating, because these are smart people that have a lot of experience with this. And there are some things that I would unfund and some things that are coming up that I would rather see us seek reductions in, but frankly, at this point, if we're not able to agree, and if the whole point is trying to get the 8 votes by artificially taking away some money from something that we're going to have to put back next year, I would rather us be on the up and up and say, we can't agree, we're at some number, now let's figure out what we're doing, then play the shell game. So, won't support these, but let's keep trying.
Pat.
Can you remind me of where we are with the, what is the amendment now?
It's to move the amendment is to move the money to
the
contingency.
General fund. Is that where we're at
now? And it took the number 3.99 back to 4.10.
Right. Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you. I'm very concerned at the comments that are being made about artificially moving money and trying to reduce the levy just for political purposes and so on. That really bothers me a lot, because for me this is not an artificial kind of exercise at all. I think it's important to remember that when we met last spring and talked about a target, not everybody supported the 5.4%. There were several of us who did not support it. It was not a consensus, and I did not support it then, and I don't support it now. And yes, I will be continuing to look for ways to reduce the figure, because that is what I have said from the beginning. So for me, this is not anything to do with politics or gimmicks or anything else, because I understand at a very sort of gut level that when my constituents say to me, Pat, please get that down. We can't take it. Our taxes are too high. I have to try to be responsive to that, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Let me just make a comment. I have Carol, Brian, Peter, Martha. It seems to be a case of, is it, you know, are we going to stay here? Or are we going to go below? So, it's pretty simple, I think. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, can I just first confirm my understanding that the
amendment to change it to 43,000 from DSS was accepted as friendly.
Yeah.
So we have just, we're not talking about an amendment at this point other than Will's amendment.
Yeah, where it's going to go.
Okay, thank you. I continue to believe that we are going to see things coming down the pike of 2012 and beyond, that the local government is the last line of defense between people, the streets, starvation, libraries being open, our basic roads, bridges, and infrastructure, being able to maintain those things. And so I continue to believe that we need to leave a little more wiggle room in the budget. We've heard from a department head that particular piece of rollover may not need to be in her budget, and if you all agree to that, that's fine. But that doesn't, to me, mean that it is appropriate to take it out of the levy entirely. If I did believe that we needed to come at some point to agreement on a number that will make a headline, I don't think this is the right moment to do that.
One second. We're not doing that now. We're just voting on one thing.
My understanding is that this $43,000 was gotten to in order to bring us just below 4%. And it may be that at some point I would be willing to talk about, are we close enough to some magic number that makes the headline better, that even though it's $3 or $4 difference for your typical property taxpayer between just below and just over a particular line, I might be, and we want to be more unified and as a legislature, I might be willing to talk about that. But I do believe that whatever comes out of this committee is going to go to a full legislature. We're going to continue to hear from the public. We're going to continue to hear from people who are affected by the decisions we're making in this and proposing to the legislature from this expanded committee, and that now is not the right moment to make that $3 per taxpayer adjustment to get to some magic number. So so I would prefer, if we're going to make this change, that it be still within the general fund and not to reducing a levy to get some magical number that we might change.
Can I ask you a quick question? You're supporting Will's amendment.
So I'm supporting Will's amendment.
Thank you. All right. Brian, Peter, Martha.
We've had a lot of conversation the last couple of days over fund balance and what it is we need and what's optimal and so on and so forth. I'd like to put this whole issue in perspective as it pertains to fund balance and the amount we're talking about. Now, I know the amount of $43,000. David, what figure are you using? I'm assuming from page 3 of is it 10 million? Is it 16 million?
It's 13 million.
13 million. Okay. So if somebody can do the math, what percentage of $13,043,000 is? Kevin?
No. We'll get back to you on that.
Could you calculate it? Okay. Is it 0.3%?
0.3. Well,
we're getting
an
interest rate.
It's about, yeah, right, exactly. Anything else, Brian?
No.
Okay. I have Peter and Martha.
Yeah, I'd like to, we're talking generalities here, and I would like to explain myself to my colleague from Lansing, sitting to my right, Mike. Why do I vote the other way from her? Because I more or less agree with what she's saying, okay? And we have talked about this and agree with each other about the tax levy. And I'm in this awkward position when earlier in this process I was pleading to bring the tax levy down, and now I'm voting against it and losing practically all the time, and now I'm on the other side of the question
and losing also. And so let me try to explain why I'm doing this dumb thing, okay? I agree with what Pat says. I think we have an obligation to try to reduce the tax levy. I think 5.4 was too high. But I think that the right way to reduce the tax levy is to reduce spending, not to tell David Squires to jigger his pen a little bit so that it comes out, the tax levy comes out lower and we haven't really saved any money. So I think we ought to have, if we believe that the tax levy is too high, then what we should set our minds to doing is to reduce the spending and not try to take it out by an accountant. So I'm now, what we're talking about, as many people have said, is trivial. On the way down, walking downtown today, I was calculating in my head exactly how much money we're talking about reducing the tax levy by with all these machinations. It turned out to be a dollar, as near as I could tell, more or less, on an average home. So it's obviously a triviality. So why don't I just vote for it? Because in principle, I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to reduce the tax levy by using an accounting gimmick or trick or whatever you want to call it.
Let me just make a comment. So. Yesterday it was gimmicks. Now today is trick. I hope, you know, I've heard all the description that I want to hear. Go ahead, Martha.
none of us passes the budget that we individually want to see. The budget is a consensus document that at least eight of us have to think is good enough. So I agree that, you know, if you're really concerned about getting the levy down, then, you know, the more correct or whatever the word is way is to cut spending. I want to remind everybody, especially the media, that we have cut spending, that the budget show presented to us had how many roster was down, how many people were down?
It's down by 3.3%.
In the number of people, right?
I
was looking for your PowerPoint, I can't find it. But that the departments, many departments absorbed cuts before even making requests to Joe. Joe did, and Kevin and the department heads did a tremendous amount of work to figure out, okay, so-and-so's retiring. We won't replace that person. Many things were done. Peter, many things were done so that spending actually would go down, even though the levy goes up. And as we know, you know, state money has collapsed. So our increase, you know, what appears to be an increase is actually still a cut. And it's our job to explain that to people. So I just want to say we shouldn't feel like because the levy is a little bit somewhere above or below four that we haven't cut. We have cut. And this is, you know, what we do here is really, I mean, it's classic. The more the less money we have here, the longer we talk about it, right? It's over and over again. So I just want to say, I think that it's whatever is important to people. I'm looking at the potential cuts that are down further on tonight's agenda. But I think we've already voted on all of them, and I wouldn't support, and we have left those amounts in the budget. And I hope we continue to leave those amounts in the budget. And I think that what we're doing, what we're talking about here, $43,000 from rollover, is by far the less damaging way to accomplish a budget that works for enough people to get it done.
I agree, Martha, but we're voting on Will's amendment, which is not that. And are we ready to vote? All in favor of Will's amendment, and the amendment is to move $43,000 that we originally started with to the fund balance. And that's what it does to the levy. It goes from 3.9 to 4.1. All in favor of Will's amendment, raise your hand or say aye. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 11. It fails. Back to the original motion.
Which was
to remove $43,000 from the DSS and the target and reduce the levy back to that 3.99. Peter?
Call the question on the motion.
I'm confused. You said from rollover and the target.
No, I'm sorry. From rollover.
Just from rollover.
Yes.
To target.
Okay. Are we ready to vote?
Is that figure up there correct?
No. It would be back to what that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Question?
Are we voting on the motion or Peter's?
No, we're voting on the motion. All in favor of the motion to reduce the rollover by $43,000, signify by raising your hand or saying aye. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It passes.
I withdraw number 25. That's 60,000.
Thank you. Pleasant McBean Claiborne, new OTR.
Thank you.
Highway reduction.
I would like to move, and I appreciate the opportunity to bring these back because I was not at that meeting.
Okay.
The highway, a reduction to highway target.
Would you move it?
The number is not 120, but $75,000.
Okay. The sheet I'm looking at says 120.
Mm-hmm. 75,000.
Is this a reduction in the a rollover?
It's a reduction in target.
It's a reduction in target?
Target in materials?
It could be tied to materials. I was looking at the resolution that went on the on the original when it first came up.
It was 103.
And my intention was to reduce highways target. It could be materials, so $75,000. Actually, it is materials is what I was looking at.
Is there a second to that, Mike? And let me ask you a question. Are we right in saying it's OTR number 103?
103.
Okay. And the number is 75,000.
Correct.
Okay. Discussion. Brian?
I just want to make sure I got this. 75 reduction from 240 to...
No, I'm just moving a reduction in target, a target reduction of $75,000 from highway materials.
So yes, it would be that current amount that's there that's been approved so far. So take that 240 minus 75,000 out of that.
240,000. So it would now be... In that green and white box would now be
165.
Yes. I'm sorry. What? Say the number out loud.
165.
Right. Okay.
That's what the remaining will be.
that's what's remaining. Questions, Kathy? You have your hand up.
Yeah, I'd like to move to amend this to 100,000. So reducing the 240. Thousand to 140,000.
Okay. Is there a second to that? Guys, for lack of a second, we're back to the original. Leslie? Let me ask.
Is there
anybody who wants to talk to Leslie's motion? We'll start with Julie.
Since
Martha.
The county administrator already cut highway materials significantly from what was needed, why are you doing this?
Because it seems like every year that's the one place where I find that highway can absorb some cuts. They have reserves, they have balances in other places, and highway seems to come out well with that. And so that's the one place that I thought I can make a cut. If someone else sees someplace different and would like to amend that, that would be fine with me.
I would just comment that Highway has not been paving more miles of roads the more we cut their budget. They're paving less. And I don't think they can absorb it, so I'm surprised.
That's fine.
I have Nate.
I have differently.
Yeah, there were others.
Then it's Carol, Mike, and Martha, and Pat.
So am I going? Okay.
Yeah, I had you first.
Yes.
Nate.
I do not support this target reduction, and mainly because I've been reading the book That Used to Be Us by Thomas Friedman, and you know one of the things and the book starts basically talking about how you know in America we've just gotten to a point where we're increasingly just tolerating disrepair, and that really just and we've said it here you know time and time again, but just connecting it to the greater political arguments, it made me see things in a different way. And so so as a result, I think we need I'll be voting against this because I think that, you know, maintenance is important, and I think that this is one of our duties, and I think we should do it well. Next.
I have Carol next.
I agree with Nate's position, although I'd caution you to look at the ways in which Thomas Friedman has flip-flopped on certain issues,
hey,
in particular those some of the wars that have gotten
into
this local mess to begin with.
Yes.
I would just like to hear from, if there's nobody here from Highway to speak to this, then that I would, yes, I was. That's where I was going to Joe to talk to us a little bit about whether you know where you see this and whether you think why you came to the number you did and whether you think it can absorb this further hit.
Right, I did cut this budget. The OTR that's been supported, that's been recommended to you, is $100,000 less than what the department asked for. That would have kept them at prior funding levels. And even at prior funding levels with the cost of asphalt going up, even if the budget stays the same, the amount of paving we can do declines. I'll just give you the recent history of line item budgets for highway materials that began in 2009 at $1.6 million. Because of our pressures that we faced in 2010, that was reduced to $1.4 million. And that's the equivalent of about 4 miles of roads that we had to diminish. It stayed at $1.4 million in 2011. Under the budget that is currently in place, the proposed budget, that's dropped to $1.3 million. This would drop it further. So in terms of mileage, the difference between what we did 3 years ago and today is about 6 miles of paving on a base of, we began doing 30 miles, we would now be down to about 24, 25 miles under the proposed budget. And this amendment would cut it further. I worry about this account, frankly. I try not to get involved in your conversations about policy, but I will admit to being worried about even the level of funding I've put in this budget for your consideration. So, again, we have to make decisions about bringing this budget to closure, but I will admit I have some concerns about this one.
So, having heard the answer, I would just like to state, if I may, that having been a supporter in the past of the Highway Department budget as a place where we might find some savings, I think we've done that in the past, and I, at this point, feel that we've asked them to do what they can do, and we need to maintain what Joe's recommending here.
Thank you. Mike?
This is what we talked about before. I'm glad to see it revisited. It's a heavy heart for me to have to try to support a cut in the highway budget. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But as Peter said, what we have to do here is to do some cutting. We haven't cut our spending. We've simply said we wouldn't have as much money in the bank. And I think we need to have some spending cuts. I realize that to get to the 5.4, there were spending cuts. But I think we needed some additional ones, and so far we haven't seen them. So I'm going to support this.
Martha?
Thank you. I was going to raise the point that you did, Joe, looking at page 196 in section 3. So even with the amount that's in your budget before this motion would pass, the amount on highway materials is $290,000 less than it was in 2009. And we don't go back farther than that. I'm sure it's even, you know, there's even more of a gap. And obviously costs have gone up, not down. I look at the next page, section 3197, highway materials on bridges. 2009 was $111,000. For this next year, we've got $34,000 in there. I mean, highway has really taken a hit, has already taken a hit. And the 240, the amount that Joe's already got that's in Joe's budget cuts their paving 8% from the level that it already was. And I just think we can't ask them to do that.
I, Pat, and then Peter.
Me?
Yes, you,
okay,
Pat.
Okay, thank you. Because of the reasons that have been mentioned, and I don't need to repeat them all, but the fact that there have already been serious cuts to this budget over the last several years, I am not going to support this cut.
Thank you. Peter.
Well, here I am in a very awkward position because I was the person that first proposed cutting the highway budget by $120,000. And I certainly didn't think it was for materials. I can't imagine that that's the right thing to do. I don't think you want to keep your staff around and not to have the materials to work with. But in any case, when I proposed that, the idea I had is that I hear on the one hand we can't go on with tax increases as high as we've been doing. We can't cut the services for the people who really need it. And we can't cut infrastructure. You don't have to quote Thomas Friedman to me. Everybody says that today, that the U.S. is disastrously behind on infrastructure. So, you know, what the answer is, I ought to resign because it's just hopeless. I think that in the end, this way of treating highways that I've seen, where there are sort of ad hoc decisions made by people who really don't know, understand what it means for highways in the long term, is not the right way to do this business. And I think that given all the pressures, we have to reexamine the highway budget and find out, can we in fact live with a lower quality of roads? I think the answer is yes, but I don't think it ought to be made every year when we look and see what the number is and say, okay, we'll cut highway a little more. So all that being said, I'm going to vote against this.
Logan.
Peter, let me just point out that this is not just looking and saying where we're going to cut, and let's just cut highway because it's the low-hanging fruit. There are years when highway has come in and not used half of the money that's been allocated for materials, for whatever reason. There are other years where they have used some. Every year there's been something. So this is not just some fly-by-night decision. I just want to make sure that that's clear. It's based on a lot of history and looking back at where things have been and where we've been going with this.
All right, about them. And let me restate it. It is from the $240,000, the amount taken away from that is $75,000.
No, don't we have like Kathy's $100,000?
It did not get a second.
Didn't pass.
But you told me you would second it.
It didn't get a second.
It didn't get a second. $75,000.
Okay. We ready to vote on that? All in favor, signify by raising your hand or say aye.
Aye.
One, two, three. Opposed? All the rest. 3-12. Ludlam, OTR 112, planning.
That was one of the OTRs that I'm trying to find my page here for planning. Actually, I have a question about that before I even move it. Okay. In my budget book, section 231, 112, the number at 112 is 27801. not OTR. On a different sheet, it's the 65 or whatever that number is.
65976.
Because it's reducing rollover by the calculation. That was an interesting one because a prior OTR. So the way planning set up their OTRs, the first round used rollover, and then when it gets up to 112, they return rollover back. So it actually subtracts out rollover. So it actually reduces the number shown here, but it's actually 65,000.
So the 12,801 is just what it would be without the rollover that was...
12,000. Oh, the 27,801?
27.
So, yeah, now there's also 30-something of rollover, 35,000 or 38 of rollover.
That was added to that.
That needs to be added back in. The way the formula was written, I had never anticipated seeing this, so...
Okay, that's fine. So I'd like to move the removal of the 65,976 to unfund that target request to planning, and that's OTR 112.
Here. Kathy.
Are you second?
Yes.
You're second. Discussion. Mike, Carol, Frank, and Ed is here.
Leslie, I wondered if you might consider it friendly to defund half of that.
I would be very friendly to defunding half of that.
The seconder. So it is cut in half and 65, roughly 33,000. Is that a good number for you, Mike?
That's fine with me.
$33,000.
Yeah, it's roughly half. Anyone else? Martha?
Well, I'd like to ask Ed what that means.
I had my hand up.
Yeah, I was on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. Go. Mike, Carol, Frank. Yeah. Mike, Carol, Frank.
Carol, you're next.
I think Mike was first.
I suppose.
Okay. First, I'd like to understand what page of our over target request section we should be referring to for more detail.
327.
3-327. Okay. And then I'd like to ask Ed to speak about what Martha just did. This would mean for you.
Well, the effect, as I would see it, of doing that would be that we would continue to use rollover for 2 years on the other approved OTR to fund the support position from half-time to full-time, and then after 2 years, that position would revert back to half-time.
Brian? No, I'm sorry. I have Mike, Carol, Frank.
Will you just refresh our memories on exactly what this function would be, what program would be lost?
The function... supported by the half-time clerical position that would be fully funded in this OTR at the full level, but would not be funded at the 33,000 level, the half level, is that portion of that job would be advisory committee support.
So the, I don't know, dozens.
So it would
many?
Continue for the next 2 years the way it's being done now, and then we'd have to cut that advisory committee support.
Okay. Well, I continue to find that the work that we get from those advisory boards, which for many of them are professionals in their field, who we ask to put in many unpaid hours, that the use of their time to do this clerical work is not what we should be asking them to do. So I do not support this.
Frank?
Yeah, Ed, I'm sorry to put, sorry to have you jump up again. Let me make sure that I understand what page 327 now reflects. It reflects the 66,000 at 65,976. 66,000 is now the, Mike's was to cut it in half, so we're down to 33. And your comment was we can take and go back up to 66 by using rollover to do that.
Well,
I think that's what I heard you say.
Yeah, OTR 61, okay, used rollover to fund the clerk position from half-time to full-time for 2 years. And we'd make a transition over that time, and then that position would become a part-time position. In OTR 112, we said we'll give back that rollover, but that would become a permanent target position, fully funded. So we wouldn't have to make the transition over 2 years to reduce the administrative support to advisory boards. The other part of 112 is to support a portion of a planning position that does conservation planning. And if it was cut in half, I would expect that we would be able to continue to use rollover for the support position and fund the planning position.
Okay. Okay. The other half of the question, Ed. These are positions that, for the most part, are filled right now, right?
Yes.
This is awkward, but why is there some rationale as to why this wasn't in the base budget as opposed to being asked to do it as an OTR?
Well, it wasn't in the base budget because we couldn't support all programs in the base budget. We just couldn't. And we, a couple of years ago, when we were under budgetary constraint, we worked with the advisory boards as a contingency because we didn't know if we'd be supported to work out arrangements whereby they would have to take on more responsibilities and have less support. And that's what would happen under this scenario 2 years from now. As well as other adjustments in the office to accommodate having less clerical support.
Less clerical. Thank you.
Okay. I have Brian, Pat, Peter, Martha.
I guess my question is just a general question. I thought we didn't use rollover for salaries.
This one is, it was to carry a position until there can be a reorganization of that budget, when that position would go away. So it was to carry, as I'm recalling, it was to carry the department through a transitional period so we didn't have to lay off, but we also, I mean, and it would allow them time to reorganize so that the roster within a year or two would be down one.
Departments can't use rollover to, or can't accumulate rollover from personnel. They can use it to fund short-term personnel needs.
But with respect to our general rule of one-time...
I thought it was basically one-time.
One-time money for one-time events.
This is continuing even if it's
this
only
is
2 years.
Example. Yeah, this is one example. I think cooperative extension is another example where they wanted some help to get them through a reorganizational period so they can downsize. They committed to downsize over the course of a year, or I think it's a year. So in that case, we did provide one-time money to carry them through, knowing that by the end of that period, they would be down by one position and we would realize the savings. The same approach is true here. So it is a limited duration, whether it was a year or 2 years.
2 years.
It was 2 years. So we agreed to apply one-time money knowing that it was a finite limited expense.
And we have rollover sufficient for the next year as well available. So it would be funded with rollover both years, and then it would be out of the budget.
Pat.
I think that this function of the planning department, as well as all of the other kinds of things that they do, are very important. I wish that we didn't have to be facing this kind of a choice, but given the choices that we are facing and the fact that the department has worked out a plan that would allow them to continue this for a period of time, and I would certainly hope that sometime within the next couple of years that we would find a way beyond that to continue funding this. But at least it would give us a period to see if there could be you know, perhaps better funding or something available someplace down the road. Much as I don't want to do it, I will support this.
You said you will or won't?
I will.
Peter.
I'd like to call a question.
I have a chance.
I just would like to point out one thing. Last night, my understanding is that there was approval of a OTR, our number eight of eight priorities in the department was approved. This OTR is number four of eight priorities for the department.
There's been a motion to call the question. Is there a second? Okay. And then we're to Martha.
Thank you. Ed, I'm a little confused about the, you've got pieces of other salaries in here, one, two, three, four, I think five other people, right?
We use shared sacrifice. If we have to cut in the department, it's across pretty much all staff.
And you did that last year too, right?
Right. So okay, this is so two, would be 2 years in a row that staff hours are being cut and salaries are being cut across the board.
So staff is now, like, you started at 40, and then with the, what's the typical 40-hour?
Typical now is 37 and a half with this. The way it's being proposed, this wouldn't have a particular effect, but now it has gone from 40 to 37 and a half for most. There's some that are at 35 already.
Okay, and the workload decrease?
Not this year, that's for sure.
No, and in fact, through the Economic Development Council, your staff has been very active and working on not just on proposals and helping with really progressive, forward-thinking proposals that have made a huge difference in the council's in what we're going to be proposing as a whole. You're also actively seeking lots of grants. I mean, there's so much that your staff does to bring money into the county from other places. I really think this is really poor policy. These are folks who are very effective at what they do, and I think it's somebody said penny wise and pound foolish the other night. I think that's what this is. I'm really opposed to it.
Leslin.
Thank you. And just for the record, I would have much preferred to not fund OTR, your priority number eight that came up last night. I did not vote for that, than to go here. But I did recall that this was supposed to be a two-year transition. So my question to you had to do with what sort of reorganizing has happened at this point, that because that was the gist of what was supposed to happen.
Well, reorganizing has not yet occurred. It would occur over 2 years. Mm-hmm. We would do some things within the office to allow us to not, we wouldn't have the capability to answer the phone all day long because we just wouldn't have anybody to do it. So we, part of this would be arranging a phone system that could be automated. And the other part would be work with the advisory boards to reduce the level of support over the next couple of years and figure out how they're going to operate with that reduced support.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Are we ready to vote on this?
Yes, anybody else? I raised my hand. Ed, the extra time that people are early in the evening, we're counting on us maybe having to weigh into New York State on all of the socioeconomic and economic and other impacts of gas drilling, that they may ask for additional impact from localities. What role would your department be playing in that, and how will this impact your ability to do that?
I mean, this won't impact our ability immediately to do that, obviously, because we wouldn't, the way this is going to work, it's over a two-year period. But ultimately, already with the cuts, I mean, I suppose everybody says this, but I feel like I'm pushing staff to do more than they probably should be being asked to do as it is with the level of hours we have.
Thank you.
Are we ready to vote on this? And let me restate. The original was to unfund 65,976. It is now 33K flat to unfund from the target budget of the planning department. All in favor, signify by saying aye or raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right. I am doing well.
Yes. OTR 111, planning removal 11130.
So let's try OTR 111. I'd like to move to remove that from the target, essentially unfund.
Is there a second?
OTR $11,130.
Kathy, second.
Yes.
Discussion.
Are we
ready to vote?
No, I'd like to have a question.
Rock, hit it.
Yeah, Leslyn, I'd like to understand a little bit more about why the reduction in the affordable housing program is one that you feel is appropriate. Carol, I'm not looking at the reduction in the affordable housing program. I'm looking at the reduction in the position, senior planner.
That's the effect.
What that position addresses, this is the department's affordable housing program. Actually, I don't see anything in here. Serving housing-related committees and the affordable housing working group.
Right, and serving the groups. It's not the affordable housing program.
Anyone else? Kathy. Pat. Martha.
This is similar to the last budget item in that the mix position makes it difficult to unravel, but I have confidence that should this pass, the planning department will do their best to fulfill the duties that they can with the budget they've got, just like the other departments have done.
Pat, Martha.
Well, I agree with what Kathy just said. I'd also point out that in the effect portion of the description in our budget book, what it describes is that the planning department would move from taking a lead role to taking a coordinating role. It does not say they would not continue to do
right.
this. And it seems to me that in the kind of situation that we find ourselves right now, that it's appropriate to make that kind of a move. And if at some point in the future we can restore that position, the hours in that position, then perhaps we can go back to the kind of lead role that we've had before. But it doesn't sound to me like we're going to be totally losing any part of the program.
We're not cutting the program.
Martha.
Well, I would note that this was the department's third priority out of eight. And I want to ask Ed about it in a minute, but I mean, the idea of the county playing a lead role, we've seen over the years since I've been here that it's really critical that the county has played a lead role when it comes to affordable housing, because it can be really, really tense, really difficult for local planning boards and local town boards to kind of accept the need for affordable housing. And we've really been the conscience of the county. We just have the report from the Danter Association, Danter study that shows that we're getting worse in terms of a vacancy rate, in terms of what's the need for housing of all types downtown within the city. We're sort of falling behind, and I feel passionately that housing is sort of a fundamental, a driver of people's economic security. We've seen over and over again that people will desperately hold on to their housing and go without food and go loaves and fishes by the end of the month, et cetera. This is so critical in terms of people being able to be secure and raise their children to be confident. So I think this is a really important county role. So that's my soapbox, and I'd like to ask Ed to tell us what it really would mean if this time for staff went away.
Yeah, what this means is we will continue to administer the housing fund, the joint effort between the county, Cornell, and the city of Ithaca. We will occasionally convene parties to discuss, you know, where we're at, and that is basically it. We will not be able to be actively engaged in developing strategies or implementing new strategies.
I have Peter and Leslie.
And I would say in terms of planning for affordable housing, before we started doing it, there are agencies who are doing program planning, but there was nobody on a community-wide basis looking at and planning this issue.
Peter.
If this role is a high priority, is there any possibility of your moving funds around? It's $15,000 we're talking about to make that happen at the expense of something else. I don't quite understand what it means to be priority number three. So if that isn't funded and something else of a lower priority is funded, can you fuss around with that?
Well, actually, this was the other things that are funded were higher priorities. Because this is one area where there are at least other agencies that are working in affordable housing. Most of the other areas that are continuing to be funded, there is nobody else at all in the community to take on the role that we're playing. So that's how we made the distinction. I think this is a critical program, but we had to cut something, and we made the judgment based on where there are other people in the community at least working in the area if we weren't doing it.
I have Leslin, Pam, Dooley, Martha.
Martha, I appreciate your soapbox. I love soapboxes. I also know when you talk about holding on to your housing that for a number of people, that also means not being able to hold on to their housing. So it's not just one group of people. It's a lot of other people. And so that's the whole big picture that I'm looking at as well. Ed, I appreciate that explanation about a number of other people who were involved with this and is part of my thinking behind this, because there are a number of other agencies, and it would be nice for somebody else to step up who talk a lot about how much affordable housing means to them and really start working on the planning aspect of it as well, and with little support from us. I think that can happen.
Pam.
Well, Ed, I just wanted to know if this, what reducing this would have any impact on our ability to apply for CDBG funding for the programs. I know that we apply for the first time home buyer program, and if you could comment on that.
Well, actually, in last year's cuts, we indicated that we would not be directly doing that anymore. That we would work with, we would require the outside agencies that are going to administer those funds to prepare the applications for the county submission. So this year, Better Housing prepared the application, although we did had to do a lot of work on it because they weren't used to doing it, and more than we planned on, for submission for a CDBG grant. So that's something we already have backed off from. What we have done with the staff level we have now is to help work on strategies for effective CDBG grants with partners. That's the kind of effort we wouldn't be able to do without this position.
Right. I just would like to stress that this is a very important role for us to be playing in the county. I think that this is not, cutting this is not a good idea, because it's not just a simple reduction in terms of hours or anything like that. It's the role of the county as the place where people come for information and expertise, and I think that's a critical role. And I think that affordable housing is something that we are in short supply of, and that we need to do as much as we can to make sure that we have it.
So I will Dooley. Support.
Well, since I'm not a trained planner, unlike many of the people on this legislature, I feel free to talk about the importance of planning to non-planners. And we have done, we had given our support to a comprehensive plan. We had given our support to its housing element as something important for the community. And this feels like we're backing away from something that we all agreed was important. And I don't know what has changed. I do know what has changed within the planning department is not just that we're asking people to do more with less, we're asking them to continue to do the same amount with less, and in reality, they can only do less with the less, and I cannot support this kind of cut anymore.
Martha Robertson,
appreciate Carol the Dave. extra bite the apple here. I looked at page 319, section 3. The 2011 budget for this department, $835,000. With Joe's recommendation, 835 goes down to 779. So they've already got a cut here before, you know, even including this amount. I just have to say, if I look at this plus the next one, that's 11,000 here, 15,000 on the next one. There are about 33,000 parcels in Tompkins County. This is about 60 cents per parcel, these two cuts. The impact of cuts like this is so disproportionate to the sort of benefit to the taxpayer. It's really out of line. And the fact what the planning department does is really not duplicative of other housing agencies. Housing agencies are the providers. There are many things that they, where there's an actual conflict of interest, and the planning department is the only organization that can come in and carry out the particular role where this is concerned.
Carol Day Bryan.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end with another question for Ed here. I don't see the bipartisan support sort of nationally and at state levels that there had been in the era when a lot of us were buying our first houses. I don't see that existing in today's era. These programs that we counted on, that for some of us in this room, certainly some of our compatriots, family, to buy a house with support, it seems to be eroding. My understanding is that CDBG funds are being cut, and that the expectation is that localities should be coming up with additional programs and public-private partnerships that will pick up some of that slack. And one of the things that we've been able to do here that I think was groundbreaking was engage in this joint program with our major employer, the city and the county. I don't see that as something that any one of the agencies that actually then deliver the affordable housing can do on their own. There was talk at the time of expanding that to maybe try to include other employers or other ways of doing this business. And Ed, I want to know from you, in what way would cutting this affect our ability to continue to work with that effort and see how to develop it?
Well, it'd be very difficult to do more than what we're doing, you know, with the program now, in terms of new strategies, new partners, responding to possible cuts in federal and state funds with local initiatives to try to overcome those. Those are the kind of things we wouldn't have staff power to really work on.
I have Brian and Peter. I don't see Brian. You want to ask a question?
No, I wanted to call the question.
Is there a second?
And one next.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Rock on, bud.
Okay. I just a simple question. Can you give me the distribution across the county and that service? In other words, how much is done in the city versus the outlying municipalities?
Well, most of our work really isn't traditionally in housing. It has not been in the city because the city does has their own efforts going on. So most of the impact of the work of county planning has been outside of the city. Almost, I would say, traditionally 90 to 100%.
Okay. Brian, now.
Okay, call the question.
Is there a second to call in the question? Dave, all in favor of calling the question, signify by raising your hand, say aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Million votes. What?
Four no's.
Four no's. Okay. Yeah, I did. It, we're calling the question. Well, the resolution is to unfund $11,130 from the planning budget. All in favor of unfunding $11,130, raise your hand or say aye. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? Should be 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The motion is defeated. Leslin?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer another resolution that's not on here that relates to the planning department since it is here. Is that okay?
Sure.
So I would like to offer a reduction of $43,130 from OTR, oh Lord, I can't find it, 114, I believe.
You want to give a little explanation of 114?
114 is the stream monitoring that Ed just let us know was priority 8, and it seems like the other priorities were much more important, the ones that I'd offered up before.
Okay,
and that
now?
43.
It's only 25,000.
25,309.
What are you looking at? Yeah. You're looking at the professional services total?
On page
328. Yeah.
On page 328.
It's $25,000.
It's that's from last night, right?
25,309.
Is that the number you want?
Yes, 25,309. I don't know where I got that number from.
It's 25,250 that we
voted. It did get changed to that.
I'll check it for purposes of discussion.
You have moved it, right, Leslin?
Yes.
At that figure? Second. Okay, discussion. Kathy?
I have to say that the realization that this was lower on the list of priorities did make me reconsider my support for this. I know that the Environmental Management Council has been working on a unique natural areas inventory, and that has been a worthy effort. However, in this time of scarce funding and public-private partnerships, the EMC is trying to do recent update efforts. Am I on the right OTR? No, excuse me. The stream monitoring, okay. Yeah, this is the volunteer effort. The part that got me about this was that it's a volunteer effort and that, isn't that right?
No.
Professional
yes,
services?
It's staffed by volunteers.
Yeah, staffed by volunteers. So the professional services, that must be paying to have the water analyzed completely. Is that right? So the curiosity about it was that it's a priority number.
Eight.
What priority is it?
Eight.
I see that there's a 6 for 113. Where is 8? Okay, right. It's on the OTR page. I forgot. So that's what makes me reconsider support for it. I know that we're in an era where we want to protect water quality, but I also think we want to protect children's lives and a lot of other things that are going on, and I would like to believe that we can find a way outside of this budget to fund this, that we can get For example, a local partner to step up. We can get one of the major corporations to step up. This is a time to be creative and think outside the box. So I'll support this.
I have Will, and that's all so far. Go ahead, Will.
Thank you, Jim. So last night we had a meeting where the representative from the Community Science Institute, Steve Pennyworth, sat through most of our meeting. This item came up. No questions were asked. Almost everybody in this room saw the wisdom of this particular program, which uses volunteers to basically monitor the stream quality, which is the most critical resource we have. And we didn't even nobody even asked the question, and at least we passed. I said, okay, well, his time was not for naught. But to now tonight turn around and do this, I would feel just miserable if we actually voted for this. It's a bad decision, and I think really, really not respectful to somebody doing very, very good in this community.
I have Frank, I have Pam, then I have Peter.
I'd like to speak to the quality of the work with regard to this particular item. The fact that Steve is using volunteers is a plus. Because if we had to hire individuals to do the type of monitoring that is going on here, that number would be considerably higher. Let me throw out some other pluses. The Water Resources Council uses the data that comes from this monitoring of the streams, and there are the tribs that go into the lake. The concentration, of course, has been on the inlet. And some of you recall the effort that was put in with regard to the nutrient loading. And CSI had quite a report with regard to the phosphorus loading that came out a year or so ago. And we're pretty instrumental in making sure that we were all not only kept up to date, but also had the best data possible to combat any potential negative effects on the inlet and on the lake itself. Recently, the City of Ithaca has recognized the work that is going on here, and Steve stepped in, those of you that were involved in the hydrilla situation most recently, CSI was involved in that as well, along with Cooperative Extension and along with Soil and Water Conservation.
I'm
almost done.
All right.
The type of monitoring that's being performed here would be there just isn't another lab locally that could provide the data that is being provided here, and I think I don't understand the prioritization either, but you know, that's Ed's call, how he lists them, or the department's call. This probably, in my opinion, should have been higher, but it wasn't. And I think this board or this committee saw the wisdom of making sure that the funding did take place. I think it would be a serious loss to the department and also to the advisory boards that rely on this, including the City of Ithaca. So I'd urge you, with all due respect, Leslie, I'd urge you to vote no on this proposed amendment and retain this funding.
I have Pam, Peter, and Leslie.
I think that ending this support for this effort at this particular point would be a big mistake. We already have the southern end of Cougar Lake is considered by the EPA to be an impaired waterway, and it needs this kind of monitoring. It probably needs more monitoring, but that this is providing at least some sense of what is pouring into our lake. I also think that the prospect of hydrofracking and the impact, the tremendous impact on our waterways that will have makes it even more imperative that we keep this going. And CSI has said that they are going to include testing for gas well signature chemicals in their efforts, in their monitoring program, which I think speaks well to their program. And we are getting so much good information for so little money. I just think it would be a big mistake if we stopped funding this.
Peter.
When I was on the town board of the town of Ithaca, I knew more about this effort, and we talked about it a lot. I know it was very highly valued by the people that did this work in the town. And what's more, there was an additional component which I think deserves some recognition, namely that this gave an opportunity to individuals who are concerned about the environment, and particularly young people, to have some kind of an impact and to participate in a scientific study collecting data. And we saw some of these people came in and were extremely enthusiastic about this. I think $15,000, we got a lot for that we got a lot for that $15,000, and I think it's something that's worth funding.
Leslin, Martha.
I just want to let Will know for the record that I feel the same way about not having the highway department here, which is our internal department. So this is not anything. I had the opportunity to sit and listen to the presentation that Steve gave before City Council, when he was before City Council, for his funding, and felt very strongly that there were opportunities in other places where funding can also come from for this organization. But this, my intention in bringing this is listening to Ed and the places where he sees priority, and this was not one of them. I saw that the county administrator did not make a recommendation on supporting this as well. So I'm not being disrespectful to Steve by any means. He sat through the meeting or anything like that, and I don't want that characterized as such. So that's the reason, my main reason for bringing this here.
Martha?
I just want to say I really support this. Just to add on to what everybody said, I'm really nervous about the time because some people actually have to be somewhere else at 7:30, and I'm talking about myself, somebody else, and we need to be able to all vote on this budget. So I think this is a really important leverage of volunteer work for a lot of good reasons, and I hope we support it.
Pat and Dooley.
Given the importance of this work, which I agree with is very important, I'm curious to know why this OTR was number 8. I'm wondering, Ed, if you could tell us why you felt it was less important and why it's number 8 instead of, you know, some of the others that you thought were ranked higher.
Sure. Well, basically all the other OTRs we submitted were either supported with a rollover, involved existing core functions of the planning department that existing staff are performing and that would be reduced if we didn't get the funding. And this was an outside organization submitting something that's not a core function of the planning department to do monitoring. That's not a function of the planning department. We put it up for the legislature to make a determination on, not for us to make a determination on.
Thank you.
Dooley.
Yeah, my speculation was certainly that this is the only one of your priorities that didn't involve your staff directly, and you need to look out for your staff first. So that did surprise me. It's hard to know where a request like this belongs. The planning department is the obvious place only because that's where the advisory committees that work with water and the environment come. But I want to assure everybody that the volunteers used are trained volunteers, and that the money that the county gives is only an indicative that we support it and can be used as an indication of a match when he goes out and he looks for money everywhere. We are not the main source of this at all. The break that would happen if this monitoring can't continue would be serious in our database. The database that can be used not just for prospectively looking at fracking signature chemicals, but also, I think Frank alluded to, or Pam alluded to, the designation of the southern part of Cuga Lake as impaired. And to the extent that the feds will lean on New York State to have a TMDL, a total maximum daily load, declared for our lake, the data that are being collected and put on the web for everybody to use will be crucial to what is decided for the southern end of Cuga Lake, independent of fracking. So this is just a very important program. Our money that can help keep it going is very important.
Kathy?
Thank you. Clearly, this is a high priority for a great many members of the legislature, and that's why it does kind of raise a red flag for those of us that see it listed as a low priority for the planning department, particularly in tough budgetary times. I hope that y'all will understand the respect with which this request has been brought forward, not as an attack on the environment, not as an attack on planning staff. Certainly some creative thinking should be at least implemented for years to come in terms of finding additional support for this from the private sector, which tourism, among other things, people stand to gain from this. I don't think it's unreasonable, especially given the low priority that it was rated as, for us to look at this and to look at it with a critical eye. I've heard the discussion, and I also am a little alarmed at the vehemence with which some of the responses may imply a lack of concern for Tompkins County's waterways or even the city's waterways. Understand that the volunteerism of this and the professionalism is not in question here, and the professional services, I think it's legitimate to try and find another way to get funding, if not tonight, and the will of the legislature pretty clearly is not flexible in that regard tonight. Perhaps in the future there could be some thought given to this, particularly since it was assigned a low priority by the planning department.
Are we ready to vote on this? What we will be voting on is the 11,100. No. 25,250 reduction of the restoration that we made last evening, and a yes vote means, well, you know what it means. All in favor of this motion, signify by saying aye, raise your hand.
Aye.
One, two, three, four, five. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. It fails. Leslin?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to withdraw that, but I would want to... It's a losing battle here, but I'd like to give another shot at the highway department in their machinery line and offer a proposal to reduce that line by $75,000.
Can you give us a page number?
Did you just withdraw the 106?
I just withdraw Number 30. Yes, number 30, because if the others are right, I thought, you know, we should do. I'm not going to go there with this.
204.
I'm sorry. Didn't we already do the 75,000? We did 75,000 on materials. I'm asking for $75,000 out of machinery.
And where's that?
I'm trying to find my page.
Section 3, page 204.
Kathy, would you say that again?
Section 3, page 204. At least that's one place where it shows up.
Hand me a mark. No, I can't find
them. How much?
$75,000 out of highway machinery.
Wait, is that $2,333,598 for 2012?
Something like that.
$2,333?
I'm getting to my...
$333,598?
Yes. There it is.
$2 million?
Do you want to repeat it again?
$333,000?
Yes.
Kevin, what page is it on?
Section 3, page 204.
That's a program, and that's a total cost of the program. So it's all staff and everything?
Understood.
Okay.
So you've moved $75,000 out of that?
That line? Particular area, yes.
Is there a second? Which is there a second to that?
Which line is it on that page?
Hold on.
She's just taking this.
Joe.
Yeah, that the page you're looking at is a description of programs. If you would like to make a change to the budget, it'd be section 3, page 198, it's highway machinery. And there you can see what the line items are and how much goes for various things.
Joe, would you say that page again?
Yeah, page section 3, 198. The budget is $1.5 million. It is primarily in four items. Salaries, those are the people that actually work on the vehicles. Automotive equipment, $180. Highway equipment, that's the heavy stuff, $244. And then fuel at $602. Those are the big drivers in that budget.
Was there a second?
I have a question.
Is there a second? The gas went up. Is that just because of the price of gas went
yes.
up?
Yes, it is. Solely.
The price of gas went down.
Now, let me just go back here for a moment. David?
This is sort of like an internal service fund. So it's no local cost in that fund. So to get at, if you wanted to reduce that fund, you would have to go back to the highway fund. This is the road machinery fund. It gets its revenue from equipment rentals from the highway fund.
So you're talking about going... So when I first started this, I said I wanted to take this out of highway fund. Folks asked me for a specific place, so I went to materials. Because that's what I had understood. I mean, things are out of the highway fund.
Yeah.
People wanted a more specific place. Now you're taking me back to where I first started.
You got to go back, right, because it's
you know what, I'm just
going to
withdraw the motion and stop.
Machinery fund doesn't...
I'm
just
trying
to find...
$500 million.
I had the discussion, and that's what I understood. It needed to come from highway fund. People wanted a specific place.
You have... Okay, we're done with that one.
I am just going to withdraw this.
All right, we got one, and you
withdrew
the HSC agency?
Yeah, I did. If we can't find cuts any place,
the last one, Dave McKenna. I'm sorry? Reduction of rollover?
Right.
You want to move it?
Yeah, I'll move it.
Is there a second? Peter Stein.
I'd like to address that for a moment.
You're on.
It's based on last night's discussion of Mike Lane's proposal. Basically, it divides both those numbers in half, and we've already picked up $43,000 of that, so that leaves $82,000. So I'd move to reduce that number to $82,000 rather than $125,000, and probably... $25,000 from the health department and the rest out of the DSS budget, which they already said they could afford last night.
So let me be clear. You're moving...
I'm going to change the number to $82,000
from rollover.
From $125,000, down on the rollover.
And where do you want to place it?
I want to place it on a levy.
You want to use it to reduce the levy. Is there a second to that?
I second.
Okay. Sorry, Mike.
Can you repeat the breakdown by department, Dave?
It's kind of an arbitrary breakdown for me. I'm going to say $25,000 from health department, the balance from DSS.
$55,000.
Right.
Yeah, 25, 57. That's what we have.
Right.
There was a motion and a second discussion. Leslin, Pam.
I have a question. Okay.
Leslin, Pam, Martha, Mike.
Dave, I appreciate your effort. I'm sorry I can't support this at this point. We did the $43,000 from DSS. We understood what was going on for the health department, and I can't. And I especially can't support this if we are not willing to find other places where we're going to look for cuts.
Pam.
I pass.
Martha.
Call the question.
Is there a second? Peter, are you seconding it?
Yes.
All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand and say aye. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. And the question has been called. Original motion is a reduction of $82,000 of rollover to reduce the levy. And the money comes from.
Can you show what that would be, Kevin?
Yeah. 25,000 from health, 57K from DSS. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of that motion, please raise your hand or say aye. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? Everyone else. That motion is defeated. We are at the end. If no one has any other things, I'm prepared for anyone on the floor to make a motion to move this to the November 1st meeting, this budget, the way it is looking. If that is anyone prepared to move the budget forward? You can, there's a resolution on your table, just adoption of amendments for the 2012 Tompkins County budget and 2012 through 2016 capital program. Frank?
Question?
Yes?
Chairman? We have not reviewed the capital program.
Yeah. Yes,
but
I think we
have.
No, we don't. Yes, Joe?
As a part of the presentation of my budget, we did go through a review of the capital plan.
I remember
perhaps
that.
Not in the details that go out 20 years, but we did review the elements of the plan, including debt-supported projects, cash-supported projects, with a projection of debt service carried out for a couple of years. So that has been reviewed at that level.
Just, Mr. Chairman, I'll support this resolution tonight.
Well, first of all, we have to get it moved down the floor.
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Peter, second. Discussion. Yeah. Frank?
With all due respect to the discussion that Joe just alluded to regarding capital program, the closest that I recall, other than that presentation, the closest I recall coming to a discussion about on any of the items in the capital plan was the other evening when we kept nibbling away. You remember I got in hot water for saying these were gimmicks. I just would like to make sure that by the time we talk about this Tuesday night, because this will be on the agenda for the meeting November 1st, as I understand it. Is that right, Kathy? I would certainly appreciate a little more of a discussion on the capital program. And just be prepared for that. I'm asking that now so that we can get into a discussion about the capital program Tuesday night. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Would you please put your hands up? I have Brian and Martha, and we'll just go right down. Who on this side of the room? Leslin and Carol. Mike. Okay. And right now it's Brian.
Thanks. I just have a quick question. Now that this has been at least tentatively set, what is the up-to-date number in terms of cap and carve-outs and that sort of thing so that we can compare it to this?
Yeah, we're still at the 2.92%.
2.92, okay.
I have Brian. I'm sorry, I have Martha, Leslie and Carol Mike. And then let me just, there were some people over here had their hand up. Who had their hand up over here on this side of the room?
Peter.
Do you have your hand up, Peter?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't make me pull it out.
Don't feel obligated.
Okay. You done, Brian?
Huh?
You done?
Yeah, Martha, you're done. You're on.
Okay. I would like to ask for or propose an additional phrase at the end of the first resolved. It talks about the tax levy amount, the levy increase, and the tax rate increase. I would like to add, comma, resulting in an increase of blank on the average home valued at $160,000. And is that 3185?
Yes.
Okay. So, I think we kind of keep, we always add this in, and it should be in the standard resolution if that's possible. I'd like to propose that amendment or see if that's friendly.
The maker, it's okay with you, Frank?
Yep.
The seconder?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Leslie?
I have a couple of things, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
By the same token as Martha, I wonder if there's a place to indicate that this is whatever amount above the property tax cap. I don't know what that would be.
1.07
above the property tax cap. Can we have that included as well? And then it'll be a little more
The maker
accurate.
And the seconder?
Can you say that again, Leslie?
Wherever it gets fit, that it also says that it is 1.07% above the 2.92 property tax cap.
Is there the maker and seconder agree to that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mike?
I don't think we know what the tax cap is exactly, do we?
He just said that. 2.92.
Our estimate is 2.92%.
As long as we can
okay. Our estimated property tax cap.
Yeah.
Because that's what we've been going on. Our approximate or estimated property tax cap. Because that's what we've been going on.
Kevin, may I ask a question? What is 1.7 in dollars?
1.07?
Really
just over 400.
Just over
400.
Okay. Leslie, Carol.
Oh, yeah, I said I had two things. That was
sorry.
One.
Go ahead.
The other thing, Kevin, is while people are growing, I wonder if you can summarize for me where in all the motions and the budget deliberations we have made some actual cuts or reductions. That's the actual cuts, not the Medicaid amount that we didn't even put in here now. So I'm interested in that. Thank you.
I'm sorry, you didn't mean that goes in the resolution? You just
no, I don't want it in a resolution. It was just a question. I'd like to hear that before we can vote on this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You up to me?
I'm done now.
Done.
Okay. Then I'm at Carol.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with Frank on being a little confused about the capital budget. I expected us to have at some point what we usually have, which is a look at that 20-year spread or whatever, how many years we've got left in it, and a chance to look at that and ask questions and understand whether we might want to make adjustments to that as well before we finalize this budget.
Okay.
So I would have preferred
Joe?
To
okay.
do that.
We can bring
we
back
vote.
What we presented at budget committee, which was the full term plan. I'll hand out, and we can go into greater detail, but I'll hand out a copy of what we presented the other night, too, and if there are details beyond that, then we'll certainly talk about it.
I'm asking for the spread that we usually get of the where we stand in the however many years are left.
With payments. With
years. That's what
no,
you're getting
that's
out.
What I presented the other night.
All right.
I prefer not to vote on moving this forward until we had a chance to talk about that in a little greater detail. Because, you know, if there's a little bit of room between where we, where we are now and what we thought we were going to be at in the spring, and we've got, reams of capital need that we've been putting off, including an old library building sitting there that's with a leaking roof and programs that we're not keeping dry, it just seems like would be the time to look.
I hear your request, and I think we can respond to that. Mike.
I'm certainly going to vote for this tonight. I'm not in favor of adding all this Christmas tree at the end of the resolved here, but agreed to. I mean, for example, we could add how much this increase will eat of the average Social Security increase for those people who get Social Security checks. We could do a lot of different things.
That's friendly.
I think let's just have the basic figures here, which is what I think we ought to do. But anyway, for the whole budget process, I think it's been good. It's been tough. I think we've made some changes here at the end. I wish there'd been more actual program cutting than we've seen. But we've ended up at a place that I can support. And so I think we ought to send it on to the people and let them tell us what they think of it.
Thank you, Mike. Peter.
I'd like to call a question.
Peter. Well,
okay.
He's going to leave.
No, I'm sorry. I have a pre-existing appointment. I hope to be able to vote on this. That's why I moved.
This was scheduled at 8 o'clock.
Just leave us your proxy, Peter. Leave me your proxy.
Frank will take good care of it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I really do apologize to everyone.
Oh, well, good. Kathy.
Thank you. I have a couple of comments. One of them is about the capital plan. I know that sometimes there are changes, and as a matter of fact, there are changes that were announced since it was presented the last time it was reviewed at the previous expanded budget committee. So I'd like an updated capital plan because I believe that there are opportunities for us there. I'd like to say as a legislator that it's a bit frustrating bringing forth ideas and being told that we can't cut that, for example, some of the highway machinery budgets. I hope that that's certainly not the case with the capital plan because it's my understanding that as a legislature, particularly with regard to capital plan expenditures, there are ways that we try to plan in advance, and that's why many of us want an opportunity to look at it before we vote on the budget because we're planning things out for 2 or 3 years in advance. Now, granted, sometimes they get changed within a week without a vote, and that's why I'd like to see the current schedule as it exists effective the day that we get it. I'd like to get it in electronic form before the meeting so that I can have an opportunity to go over it, if that's possible, because I think that these things are very important, and if there has been a change in the schedule, for example, that requires a project to be moved from, let's say, this year to next year or next year to the following year, it would be great for the legislature to be informed about that, particularly in advance of voting on the budget. I hope that's not unreasonable. I'm not finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And with regard to this year's budget process, I appreciate the chairmanship, the staff's contribution, everybody. I know we're not done yet. I know everybody's put a lot of effort into this. I think it's a good effort. There's a lot of things I'd like to see more. I'd like to see us be more stringent with certain departments, particularly with regard to the rural areas. I've heard a lot of comments in this budget season, how much does the city use of this? You know, there used to be a misconception or an agreed-upon belief that city residents used the most social service funding. If that was ever true, I can tell you that it is no longer true. And these continued questions of how much does the city use in relation to the rural areas, I hope you keep asking, because it's clear to me, and I want to continue to bring the figures forth that show that by the rise in the tax levy and the continued rise in the cost of living in the city, we've driven a lot of people into the rural areas and out of Tompkins County. That's not going away. Pat's spoken to it. A lot of people have spoken to it. But let's stop stereotyping downtown and city residents as disaffected poor that are a leech on the tax levy, because in fact many of us are hardworking. I'm sorry, the question has come up several times. You can make all the faces you want to.
I'm not making faces.
I just want to talk to the rural reps here and to say, guess who's paying the tax rate right now, and guess who's paying two and three times right now, and a lot of us are beyond our limits. So what I'm seeing is a reluctance on the part of the rural reps to understand the need to make needed cuts in areas where you've had a bit of a largesse in the past. And I'm saying this now, I hope you remember it. Just remember that number. Let's see if I can remember it. Was it 2 million? How many? $333,000? We're flexible. I'm flexible. I'm going to do my best to support this, depending on what twists and turns happen to it between now and budget time. But I would like for my colleagues on the legislature to start paying attention to the trends in this county and to see who's doing the best to bear the burden and start sharing.
May I make one comment, Kathy?
I can't stop you. I could call one of the department heads to come speak, though.
You know, I'm not going to talk about that. I was okay. Not making faces at you. My back hurts terribly.
I know the feeling.
And,
believe me.
You know, and I don't like to whine about my health, but it just hurts. Martha.
I will point out that section 2, page 35 and 36, are spreadsheets that certainly look like the sheets that we usually look, we used to go through with at considerable.
What page is it?
Section 2, page 35 and 36. So those have been available to all of us all this time, and I think the effort of staff to say, please send me your resolutions. Please, tell me what you want to bring up. I think that's, if people really were concerned about more detail on capital, I understand the question, but it would be great if people had let Kevin know, so we'd all
last year, Martha.
If so, everybody would build that in.
Notice.
I'm talking. So I would like to ask that this is not the final vote on the budget. This is a vote so that we can send something, so that we can send it to the legislature Tuesday, so that we can have a public hearing on it on the 9th. And we always have considered. I think we've always had changes at the final budget adoption. In fact, we could even change it on Tuesday. We could have motions to change it on Tuesday before we vote to send it to public hearing. But we can't get there until we vote on this tonight.
Leslie and Frank.
Okay, Martha, I'm sorry. I'm kind of at my wit's end because I don't understand why you always have to do this to folks. Joe already said he's going to make a presentation of the capital budget. We don't have to ask for that. We vote on the regular budget and the capital budget, and we always get a presentation about it. We have not gotten that. So it's not for folks to know they should have asked before now when Kevin asked for this. Things go well, and then you make these comments just to make all, at least me, feel like I'm just dumb for not asking.
No, I'm just...
And
I'm
that's
just,
not... That's
I was
not
worried
okay.
about... I was commenting that...
Just raise your hand, Leslie.
I was commenting on the concern about postponing the vote tonight, and I just...
I hear what you're saying, but it's the manner in which you present it. I was like, I should have asked when I always knew that we get a presentation that includes the capital budget. I don't think it's my place then to just ask. So someone asking tonight seems like the appropriate thing to do to say, hey, can we get this before I feel comfortable voting? That's all.
What, are you trying to help Martha get to the meeting?
No, I asked for this presentation earlier.
I have Frank and Brian budget. And Carol, and I'm sorry, Frank Will Bryan.
Thanks, Jim. I have a couple of items. First, let me make sure that I understand what's going to happen Tuesday night. That's November 1st. Joe will make, or someone will make, a presentation, review, whatever we want to call it, on the forecasted capital program is.
Yes.
Something like that.
Right.
Joe, you were sending something around for us.
Yeah, did it make it all the way around?
No, we didn't get any of that.
It's the PowerPoint that was a part of the presentation that we made as a part of the administration department.
Just one copy?
No, I thought I made enough for everyone.
Okay. The comment.
Stop the theaters. Yeah.
Okay. This is an observation. I, too, appreciate the amount of effort that's gone into this budget, a little different format, and Jim's directed and kept us under control for the most part. for a month and a half here. The only negative for me is I wish we had been able to get into the base budgets a little more, if at all, rather than just concentrate on the OTRs. I realize that doing that made the process go faster, but I think there are some items that some of us feel should have been in the base budgets that were included as OTRs, and I think that during 2012 we ought to spend some time in our program committees, as some of us have asked for in the past, getting into program budgets so we can understand it by the time we start this process again. I hate to say that, Joe.
Soon.
God, it seems like April we'll be at this again. So that's a comment I'd like to make. Kevin, I think you did a hell of a job.
Uh-oh. Frank,
ooh,
say that.
Am I supposed to say that?
No.
If you had said that, Peter would have been in trouble.
Frank, Brownie, I'm afraid Kevin's job isn't over yet. So I have Will and Brian.
Thank you, Jim. I wonder if you could just clarify where we are at this moment. Are we considering the main the resolution that with those numbers?
Absolutely.
And did we vote on Leslin's proposed addition, which was regarding the tax?
They were friendly.
Okay. Were they?
Martha's and Leslin's were friendly.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Okay. I have to say that is one factor that unfortunately will cause me to vote against this resolution. The bigger is that I feel that this number is not really addressing our longer-term needs. So I will be voting against this. But I also really caution us from essentially endorsing and reinforcing what I think was basically a very, very unfortunate move on the part of our governor with this tax cap. The responsibility is ours, folks. I think we've taken it very seriously. I really appreciate all of the effort and you know, Peter and Leslin bringing forth things even and continuing, even as they got voted down, took courage. And we considered it, we voted on it, and I think that's our responsibility. And to seed the state through this artificial and I think contrived mechanism of tax cap, I don't want to give it any support.
I have Brian, Carol, Martha.
First off, Jim, I want to thank you for your leadership in this. Other than 5 minutes ago, you had pretty good control over most everything. I do want to make an observation. I really don't know what to think of what was just said about the rural representatives. I mean, it's been my I've had a number in mind which was significantly less than 5.4%, which probably, based on that one right there, isn't a big secret. But I raised my hand a lot in terms of trying to cut. And the reason why I did that, Will, I understand what you're saying about the governor. And I was thinking all along, none of us knew or could predict what a 2% cut would be, what it would look like for the folks out there. I think collectively we're beginning to make a decision that it would be irresponsible of us to have a 2% cut. But I'm happy with what we have done in terms of getting it down from the recommended budget from Joe, and so I would like to commend all of us for at least making the effort to do that. We didn't all agree on everything, which we knew we weren't going to. My last thing is, there's a couple of things in this resolution that were added, and I would just like to know what the final verbiage is going to be in that, and because I kind of lost track.
Adding to the first resolve language,
that shows the increase on an average home, $160,000 home.
Yep.
I don't have that figure yet.
Oh, yeah, the dollar amount's up there.
Yeah, 3185.
Well, yes, I mean, I think we should observe that, and then when if this resolution makes it through this room, it'll show up with those numbers on it. Go ahead, Kevin.
And then Leslin's is 1.07% above the property tax of 2.92%.
Of the estimated property,
Tax of 2.92%.
And I thought I heard a third one that didn't get in there, or we were still discussing it or something.
No, those are the only two that were accepted as friendly.
Yeah.
They will be added to the resolution.
All right.
Brian, I'm sorry, I have Carol, Martha, and then now Leslin.
I don't feel like I can support this budget. I am going to put my vote where I think all our voices have been for the last number of months, if not year, on local control and of opposition to what the governor has pushed on us that, that I don't think we can afford. For the record, so I will vote against it. For the record, on the capital budget, another reason I don't feel ready to vote on it today is, for the record, and I think that if we had minutes that showed more of the discussion as we used to, I did request during this expanded budget committee meetings when the smaller presentation on the capital budget that we usually get was given, I did request that at some point we hear a little bit more. That was early in our process. I was hoping we were going to get to it. And then also for the record, I would like to suggest, or not for the record, but I would like to suggest that as the new year moves forward, that in objective ways, we maybe try to find ways to look at the ways in which residents of the city are asked to pay twice for some of the services that we all take for granted. Taxes in the city are quite high, well beyond what most of the people in this room are facing. And we do, those of us who represent city contact department, city districts do have to put that in context. And I just think it behooves us to understand that dynamic a little bit more in ways that aren't inflammatory.
Martha.
I want to. I didn't mean that people should have known about the capital program and that questions weren't legitimate. I was trying to say that we have a schedule and we really have to, you know, we're going to have the public hearing. So, I want to say to Will about the tax cap. I'm kind of proud that, you know, we're going over the tax cap. So I don't think it's a problem that we put in there. I think it should be clear that, you know, that when that we've done that, and so I don't think it's sort of accepting that we buy the governor's idea that there should be an arbitrary tax cap when he hasn't done anything about mandate relief. So I'm supporting this. As I said before, there, you know, in any book that has this many numbers, we're all going to wish some of the numbers were different. I feel like this is a really good a good compromise among the shared values that we have, and I hope it gets supported.
I have Leslin Dooley.
Well, for the exact reason that Martha just mentioned, the tax gap is why I wanted this in there, not for any other reason. And also just the flip side, and I was trying to figure out how to phrase the flip, what I was thinking about is the opposite, that we're coming in whatever percentage below the tax cap override that we had set. You know, so that's really what I was trying to capture with that statement. All right.
Julie.
I am not particularly proud that we've added a reference to the governor's tax cap. I share Will's antipathy to that whole approach. But I think it makes sense to allude to it since we gave ourselves permission to go above the cap, and this confirms that that's what we're doing, although it seems pretty obvious. I will vote to support this to go to the legislature. I will probably not support it when it gets there because I think it is setting us up for treating our residents less well by having this a more wildly fluctuating levy from year to year. I think we had an opportunity. We still have that opportunity to be higher than 3.99% tax levy increase, which would make the next year's one probably less painful. And that's important to me to level it out.
Is there anyone? Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to point out that if I say something that sounds a little strange, I have not been able to hear much of the last half hour because my speaker has stopped working over here. So I've been able to catch pieces and parts of it, and I think I've got a little bit of the gist of what the conversation has been about, but I didn't catch many of the details. But I gather that we're talking about supporting the
treatment? Or not, yes.
Or not, okay.
Sending it on to the November 1st
right,
meeting.
Right, okay, well, I just would like to say that I will support passing this on to the next step in the process. However, I had really hoped that we would be able to make further cuts, and I'm disappointed that we have not, and I still hope that before the end of the process we will find some way to do so. And although I will support this vote tonight, I'm not committing to supporting it in the final vote of the budget by my vote tonight. I would point out also that I have a great deal of respect for the comments that people have made about the needs of our constituents and the programs and the importance of the programs. And each time that I hear someone speak about that, I think, yes, but that's what our families, many of our families, are having to do also. They are having to make the same kind of tough choices. They're giving up things that are important to them in order just to survive in this particular economic climate. And we're lucky here in Tompkins County. Our unemployment rate is the lowest in the state, according to the paper today. And yet, we probably all know people who have either been laid off or have lost their job permanently and don't expect to be called back or whatever, families that are really suffering. And regardless of whether the governor passed the tax cap or not, I think that we have an obligation to try to bring this tax rate down. It is too high for too many people, and we need to find a way to lower it. So I just want you to know that's how I feel.
Anyone else have any comments? Before we vote on this, I'm going to ask for a roll call vote. I want to explain a couple of the options. Pat, even though you might be the luckiest person in the room that you haven't heard the last 30 minutes. Here's what we're down to. If we can support this resolution and send it to the legislature, and I know fully well that it can get changed, many things can happen to it. We need to send a budget for November 1st. If this is turned down, Joe's budget goes as the tentative budget that will be at the public hearing. Yes. And let me finish. And if that happens, then it would be a member-filed resolution that would have to go forward with this budget. Okay? Leslie.
Numbers, Kevin.
Sure.
So what's up there? The tax bill in an average home.
All the highlighted cells, yes.
Oh, honey, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
So, your property
just
tax.
Just hear me out.
Yep.
The tax bill in an average home says $1,067.05.
Correct.
That is what it will be
at that property tax levy increase?
Yes.
Could you, do you have the ability to tell me what it was or what it is currently?
Subtract out $31 from that. So
subtract out $31.
$31.85. Yes.
From that amount.
Yes. $1,035 okay. And change.
It'd be 103.6.
103.5. 510.
And the only reserves that we have used is that 1.2 million.
Correct.
So that is what came from our fund balance.
And rollover.
Does that include the rollover?
It does
not. That 1.2? Okay.
There are separate components there, but the sum of all of the fund balance that would be used is that.
Okay, babe, hear me out. The fund balance that we used was 1.2, whatever that is, million dollars. So you started out your budget putting that amount in there.
Yeah, our budget began with $883,000, so that's gone to $1.2 million. Rollover is also fund balance.
Right, I understand
so
that part.
It's additive, yeah.
So that's gone up a bit.
So it's now 1.5 whatever that includes rollover.
That's right.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Are we ready to vote on this? Roll call vote, please, by the clerk.
Mr. Burbank?
No.
Ms. Chalk?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
12 ayes, 2 noes.
I want to thank this. Everybody, thank you, Jim.
No,
thank you, Jim.
No,
I want to thank the staff.
Yeah, I would do that.
Kevin and Joe not only pulled this out, but created a new document for us as well. And I think it's been... I think it's been a great improvement. I know people have had some, you know, been some adjustment getting used to it, but I think it's been really well done and appreciated. And thanks, of course, to the staff and the department heads and the agencies for living with us all these months on this budget.
I would thank the staff very much, Joe, Kevin, and all the department heads, and all of you for coming here and telling us what you feel and. We end up with something to look at for the public to look at. Joe?
I just would like 2 minutes while you're kind of collecting your stuff. I said this in each of the last 3 years, I think, that we've done budgets. This process is better than others. I've been doing municipal budgets in one way or another since Jimmy Carter was president. Okay? So I can speak with some experience to the process. What you do... What you do around these tables is often done behind closed doors. The conversations you have where tempers sometimes can flare and emotions can get up there, first of all, you do more civilly than other groups that I've been associated with.
Would you repeat that?
Trust me. Again, remember Jimmy Carter.
With a really rough crowd.
The system is good, and really... The way the process works is admirable. Sometimes in a process like this, we use shorthand to make some of our points, and I do want to make sure that we're all straight on a couple of things. We use shorthand terms like creative accounting and one-shots and even gimmicks sometimes, and we do it to make a point. I hope we all understand that this budget is not a House of Cards budget. It's not based on gimmicks or creative accounting or anything like that. You had an excellent debate about how much of this budget should be balanced with new revenue, how much should be pulled out of reserves. It's the right discussion to have. You try to find a balance. And that's not gimmickry. That's careful thought about how to allocate resources. So this budget, I believe, is a sustainable budget as it goes forward. I know we're not done. I know we have things to talk about. But I do think you ought to feel pretty good about getting through a process with a budget that does maintain our services. We did it. In a year when we thought Armageddon might be here, this budget will maintain our services at a tax rate that is modest. So, again, I want to appreciate, I want to express our appreciation for Jim, for all of you, for a process that is a very good one and I think results in a good outcome. So, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Motion to adjourn.
Did you want the executive session now?
Every year we think about Armageddon. Every year we
think about favor. Hi.
Mr. McKenna, please take me home.